Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Atlanta Business Radio. Stone Payton here with you, my business partner and co-host Lee Cantor. Visibly absent. He's leaving a little bit of a hole, but I think we can pull this off without him. Shout out goes to him. He's actually up in Chicago with his son Max and wife Abby. Max is on what they have characterized as a study abroad program, but he wants to do the performing, the comedic kind of stuff. He is studying at Second City, which is like a feeder for Saturday Night Live, for those of you who don't know. So shout out to Max and the Cantor family. But I think if we pull together, we can do this, right?
We got it.
Absolutely.
All right. First up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we have with us from Bunker Labs, Scott Tekeski and Jason Smith. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us.
All right. So, Scott, I'll start with you. Mission, purpose. Tell us a little bit about what you guys are trying to do for folks over there at Bunker Labs.
Yeah, so the mission of Bunker Labs is to connect veterans to their community and encourage them to be leaders in innovation and entrepreneurship within their community. And so what we really do is we look for people that have exited the military or are getting ready to exit the military and don't necessarily want to go into a typical 9-to-5, but they want to start their own company, whether that's a lifestyle company like we were talking about before with landscaping, or we have home inspection services and things like that, or if someone looks to really create some innovation in the technology space or any other industry. We're just looking to bring them into the community and support them on that journey.
So is this a kind of a new idea to a lot of veterans, the whole, just the idea of going the entrepreneurial route as opposed to go get a job, or are they kind of wired that way from the beginning?
I would venture to say they're wired that way from the beginning. I believe the number is 49.8% of veterans coming home from World War II started their own companies.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was really popular back then after World War II. And unfortunately, we've seen a sharp dip in that number. We've got about 25% of veterans report that they are interested in starting their own company upon exiting the military, but it's just under 5% actually follow through and do it. So that's a huge disparity between World War II levels and where we're at now post 9/11.
So, Jason, why do you think that is? What's the gap there? Why such a big difference?
Well, one of the biggest gaps is some of the perceptions of what veterans are after. Most people are putting their funding and time and investment of energy into supporting veteran job programs. And when you have over 25% of the veteran population looking for entrepreneurship or what entrepreneurship provides, there's a gap in the programs that are available to support them, to inspire, equip, and connect them to the resources they need. And that's where Bunker Labs comes in to fill that gap.
Now, you served. You're a veteran. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
And you are an entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
Now, did you get a little bit of help, or did you have to navigate some of this whitewater with less support?
That's a funny story, because I did come in as a veteran entrepreneur, going the entrepreneur route without looking to the veteran community first. I didn't know that Bunker Labs was there. I started my journey before Bunker Labs existed. Bunker Labs is just over 5.5 years old.
You didn't have Scott.
I didn't have Scott.
Man,
didn't have that good looking guy over there.
Starting behind the eight ball.
I know, exactly. And what most veterans do with all of your intuition and your work ethic, you try to do it on your own. And I think that's what most veterans are out there doing. They're trying to do it on their own, and they don't know that resources exist just for them. And everything I tried to do outside of the Bunker Labs or the veteran community left me, again, behind the eight ball. But once I got around a veteran community where people understood me and my ethic, there was a level of trust, a level of understanding that gave me a footing to actually get moving. And now I've been able to break out on my own with confidence because of what the veteran community could bring specifically.
So it makes perfect sense to me why you got involved. Scott, your backstory, what got you involved in this?
Yeah, so it was actually funny. I actually ran into Jason Smith at a different event, and we were both volunteering with another organization, and he brought up Bunker Labs, and I was like, yep, that's more my style. That's more where I want to be and what I want to do. And so, I mean, I think it was a 5-minute conversation. He said, good, come out next Tuesday. We need some help. And so I showed up. He made a couple introductions from there, and it's just been rolling, but it's been a great opportunity to meet a lot of members of the entrepreneurial community, particularly the veteran entrepreneur community,
mm-hmm.
and really lay the groundwork for future endeavors, which I hope to pursue, but also gives me the opportunity to give back now. There are so many people out here in this community in Atlanta that are already getting after it. Sometimes I just need a little bit more support, a little bit more help, and that's something that I'm more than happy to do.
All right, so lay it out for us. How does the program work? Just walk us through the whole process, if you would.
Well, the most important component of Bunker Labs is connecting. And unlike other incubators that you might see, where our goal is to take someone from an idea on the back of a napkin and force them through this process so that they come out with a finished business on the other end, we recognize that entrepreneurship is an inside job. So our primary job is to connect. Mm. And every month we will have a connection meeting that we call our Bunker Brews, started with many veterans over cups of coffee brewed. Also in the evenings, over
see, I went straight to beer, didn't you?
There yeah, you go. Yeah. I started with coffee, you know, and in the evenings over bottles of beer, just connecting with each other. And our goal there is to make sure, just like a chamber of commerce meeting, you find exactly what you need, and we help facilitate those connections. Running your business is up to you. Once you're off and running, we have some resources for you. Or once you have an idea that you want to get going, we can get you connected to Launch Lab Online, which is an online curriculum that takes a veteran through the essentials of the lean startup process. It's a common format for starting a business that's out there in the business community. And as people progress, we will put them in touch with other successful entrepreneurs. And every year we'll have a cohort of 10 businesses that are brought into the WeWork Veterans in Residence program powered by Bunker Labs, in which we'll help 10 lucky or qualified businesses work through that incubator time frame in a WeWork facility to connect with each other and help grow their business. And then as businesses get very well funded, over $1 million in funding, $500,000 in revenue, we do have another program for them called CEO Circle, where we help those progressed advanced business leaders solve the business problems of their level of business.
I tell you, programs like that, it all sounds marvelous now that you're describing it.
Right.
But those things just don't come together by themselves, do they, Scott? I mean, there's a lot of backroom work to get those things going. And you've got WeWork behind this?
Correct. So we have WeWork is one of our partners throughout the nation, and they have been absolutely awesome about providing free workspace to these cohorts throughout the country. It's not just Atlanta.
Really?
So it's all over the country. And they provide a workspace for all 10 of these companies to come together and really pull together, similar to the military environment, where we're all going in the same direction, right?
So if I'm retired veteran or I'm a veteran and I come to you, can I come with just the idea that I would like to pursue an entrepreneurial path, but maybe I don't have much figured out beyond that, or is that too early in the cycle?
No, that's perfect. I mean, we span the spectrum of where you're at with your idea or your fully fledged business. And so some of the ideas to me are even more fun than the guys that already have a business and are rolling with it, because there's just so much more that can be done. There's so many more connections that can be made. There's so much more to offer and watch it grow. It's a lot more fun that way.
By the way, Angie, if you're listening, Angie does all of our publishing for us. Mm-hmm. The quote, Angie, for this episode, entrepreneurship is an inside job. That's what you said a minute ago,
right?
It's
an inside job, absolutely.
Expound on that a little bit. What do you mean by that?
There's so much to starting and running your own business. As a guy who is still, I'd call myself in that fledgling area of business. You know yourself from having run a sales training business. There's so much to learn about how to break into the market and begin. You learn so much about yourself that the personal growth is what's going to determine your success in business.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the connect component is so important to the Bunker Labs piece. When you're going through the struggles you are, your frame of reference is important. So it's important to get around people who are like you. You feel safer and more connected. And if you don't handle that inside job piece, your performance won't match up. Just sad story. I actually had my short time in the military. Most of it was in the security forces, which is the military police, if you will. But I washed out of pilot training first. And I found out that it was because there was a lack of connect between what I really wanted to do. And no matter how much you tried the actual steps, mm-hmm. if you don't feel confident in what you're doing, you won't be successful. And that's why entrepreneurship is an inside job. The idea on the back of a napkin, that's great. Until you really feel like you can be successful at it, it won't be successful.
So you have these programs set up that, again, we recognize there's a lot of energy and effort that went to working with the WeWorks. Oh, and you've got something going on with Google too, right?
We do have something going on with Google.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So we've got another program that we're launching here in Atlanta. Just got started about a week or 2 weeks ago, and it's called Basecamp Powered by Google with Bunker Labs. So basically what that is, it's a peer matching program. So as most people know, Google has this cool rule called the 20% rule. And so Googlers are allowed to dedicate 20% of their time to
I've heard of that.
Whatever they want to. Right. And so what they've done is they've brought a group of these guys together that are they've volunteered to sit down and meet with veteran entrepreneurs, and the veteran entrepreneurs can bring their problems to them, whether it's simple marketing or, you know, how do I do better with AdWords on Google, or how do I code this particular part of my platform, my website, whatever. And these Googlers obviously are incredible. And so we had our first run of it 2 weeks ago, and some of the reports that I got back were I got more done in 8 hours today than I would have in 8 weeks trying to do this on my own. So, I mean, Google's powerful, obviously. We all know that. And having them partnered up with us and really leaning into the process with some of our guys and girls, it's a game changer for us here in Atlanta.
So entrepreneurs, and I would be one of them, that I've got some scar tissue. I've learned a few things, and there may be a way some of my learnings, let's call them, over the years may be helpful to some of these guys. I did not serve, but is there still a way for me to contribute to this effort?
Absolutely. We're an open and completely inclusive group, especially on the Connect piece. Anyone who's got those entrepreneurial scars, please come share, join any one of our monthly Bunker Brew events. They're always on Eventbrite, and we make sure that we keep a mailing list out for those who want to come and just participate and help mentor and coach. We also have ways for those who want to contribute to this national chapter. There is a way to donate online. You can contribute to the national chapter, or you can work with us on a local level for in-kind support. We'd love to be able to have a regular segment. No shame in asking to have veterans come and speak on Business Radio on a regular basis. That's a great way to support. Our traveling roadshow of our monthly events requires meeting space. So you can always open up your corporate event space for a group of 70 to 100 people to come in and just have an evening with some food and drinks and a little bit of knowledge. Those are things you can contribute to. And we also need help as far as long-term mentorship for those more mature businesses who need that CEO circle type of coaching as well. So there's lots to give.
Well, it sure sounds like it. And even in our case, I think we really should explore that. Maybe have you guys come in periodically, maybe with a cohort or some representatives from a cohort, or if they're just some people that you want to spotlight who are getting something off the ground or launching a new product or a service. I think that would be good mojo for everybody. So we should talk more about that.
Absolutely. Our veterans and resident cohort, our 10 companies for this year, is launching tomorrow.
Sweet.
So we'd love to give you an update in a couple of days.
Yeah, that sounds great. So, Scott, what do you like the most, man? What do you find the most rewarding about this?
So what I found the most rewarding in the almost year that I've been doing this is, I think it was 4 months ago, we were having a Bunker Brews, and it wasn't the smoothest behind the scenes. It was pretty rough, if I'm being honest. And so we got there, and we got to the point of execution. We had the beer, we had the food, we had the space, and then people started trickling in, and we get our speaker going, and Jason and I were a little bit tired, and two of the guys came up to us and were like, hey, could we have a couple minutes after the speaker? And I was like, for you two? Absolutely not. No, you are not the people I want to speak in front of the group. They're like, no, come on, seriously, let us do it. And so they got up and they both told stories about connections they made 2 months ago at Bunker Labs or Bunker Brews, and then another event that we co-sponsored, and where they combined for a total of, I think it was over $115,000 in revenue that morning. The morning of our Bunker Brews, they sealed deals that were valued over $115,000. And so they just wanted to get up and say, you know, hey, it works. And having Jason, Megan, our other volunteer city leader, and myself really, really putting some time and effort into it, that was validating and rewarding. And I mean, it was a total surprise too, but that was one of the cooler moments.
Well, it's stories like that keep you inspired, keep you wanting to do the work. And I think we ought to probably underscore in the same breath, you don't have to come out with this heroic effort every time you interact with a person or a group who you're trying to serve. Sometimes there's just value in sitting down with someone else who has fought some of the same struggles. You don't have to be a genius orator. Just be willing to spend a little time with these folks and share with them some of the good and the bad and the ugly of what you've experienced. So there's tremendous value in that too, right?
Absolutely. And that's probably one of the coolest things to see at the Bunker Brews is when you get a new guy who comes in and he or she's like, you know, I'm really struggling with, I always go to social media marketing, right? Because everyone thinks they know how to do it and no one really does. Yeah. And we've got a couple people that have been successful with that. And so you see these guys come in, they're like, I've been posting all day on Instagram and Facebook and I'm not getting the returns. And then you see when these guys come next to them, they're like, hey, come on, we can walk that road together. And I think that's unique to the veteran community where it's competitive. We all want to win. Do not get me wrong.
Right.
But I'm not going to leave someone in the dust and watch them suffer just so I can have, you know, 1% more market share than they do. Like, we all win in it together.
Absolutely.
It's a big pie, and there's plenty of pie out there for everybody, right? So I want to touch on something that just struck me while you were talking. The power of niches. I know as a media platform, we found that if we identify a specific niche, and maybe veterans is one of them we should pursue more aggressively, but like we have some, we call them power partners in the women business enterprise space. And we find that we learn a lot about serving those specific needs. I wonder if a veteran, especially in the service business, could target serving other veterans. Like if somebody in the veteran space got really good at the social media stuff for business and then really made a big part of their business doing that for veteran owned business, that would be a really strong niche for them, right? I like that idea.
Absolutely. I mean, just in the Bunker Labs community alone, we've created over 1,000 companies that have come through. I say we've created companies coming through or veterans coming through have created over 1,000 businesses that have created over 2,000 jobs. So there's certainly a growing, ever growing niche there that there will always be veteran businesses to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make sure we encourage people to help veteran businesses. The most important thing to do is what every other niche group of immigrants or any other close knit community has done is support each other. So whether your business is focused on taking care of veterans or not, of which there's not a lot of billion-dollar ideas. There's not a lot of, you know, massive amounts of income in just taking care of veterans. But the best thing for veteran-owned businesses to do is to support veteran-owned businesses. If you're a baker, then get your flour from a veteran-owned, you know, farm.
Oh, excellent point.
If you're going to get your printing and your media done, find a veteran-owned marketing company.
Look there first, but now expect quality, expect good service, expect and if
quality,
not,
yeah. then demand quality.
Demand, there you go.
Quality. You hold each other accountable.
Right.
Right. And, you know, but to that point, that's the best way to help the veteran community as a veteran business. Not so much as trying to make your niche and force it into this hole of serving veterans. Take whatever you're doing, find a niche that really scratches your itch that you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And then do that with other veterans. Hire other veterans that you know will have the same work ethic and values and commitment to quality that you were taught in the world's greatest leadership laboratory. So go ahead and find them first and do what really makes you happy rather than trying to force yourself to just serve veterans. There's a lot more opportunity to serve the bigger and broader world.
Nicely put. All right. So upcoming and recurring events. Let's make sure that our listeners know about some of those because you're doing something on a regular basis with the, what'd you call it? Bunker Brews?
Bunker Brews. Yeah. So conveniently, our next Bunker Brews is tomorrow night.
Nice.
Yeah. So we'll be down at another veteran service organization called Team Red, White, and Blue. They've got a just over 5,000 square foot space.
I know the guy who runs that organization.
Is that the water bottle, the RWB? Yeah.
Who's the guy that runs that place?
That's me. So, I partnered with me.
Nice.
To set us up. But it's a really cool space. We've got a six-rack CrossFit gym. We have conference room space. We do have some co-working space that's available in Midtown. If you need to drop by and, you know, between meetings, get a little bit of work done and you don't want to go to a coffee shop or something like that.
Right.
Come on over to the Firebase. But tomorrow night, 198 14th Street in Northwest Atlanta, we are going to be hosting our next Bunker Brews. Feel free to sign up right now on Eventbrite. We have an Eventbrite up there. We'll have a little bit of catering, a little bit of beer. We're going to be joined by Leslie Cuban of Franet, who is going to be...
We think the world of Leslie Cuban.
Yeah, so she's going to be walking us through the do's and don'ts, the highs and lows, and a couple of the pitfalls of franchising, which is a great opportunity. And there's a lot of opportunity within the veteran space for franchising as well.
Fantastic. All right, so before we wrap, let's make sure that our listeners know where to go to kind of stay up to speed with all these upcoming events, but also if they'd like to talk to one of you gentlemen or somebody on your team and get plugged into this community, whatever you think is most appropriate for coordinates, email, phone, LinkedIn, that kind of thing.
I'm very direct, and I love putting my information out there. if you'd like to reach me personally for anything related to Bunker Labs, you can reach me at jason.smith@bunkerlabs.org, and we can talk about anything about how to support the veteran community. If you need any help with your sales team or any of the performance goals you have for your organization, you can reach me at jsmith@aslantraining.com to talk to me about business and helping your organization.
All right. And Scott, what's the best way to reach out to you?
Yeah, so I don't have a last name like Smith. Tekeski is a little bit harder to guess on. So right. If you go to www.bunkerlabs.org and then search for locations and find the Atlanta site, we are all up there. Our emails, our LinkedIns are all linked from that site. You can sign up for our newsletter and stay abreast of what's going on in the local Atlanta area. And feel free to reach out to me via email or via LinkedIn. I get connections on a regular and consistent basis through both. I'd love to chat with you, whether you've got an idea, something on the back of a napkin, or you've got a full-fledged company, or if you want to give support to our veteran community, I'd love to talk to you.
Well, gentlemen, thank you both for coming down and visiting with us. Keep up the good work. Keep us posted. And let's do talk offline about both what we've talked about with your podcasting efforts. But let's see if there's not a way for Business Radio X Network and you guys to team up to serve this group.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hey, stay with us. We're going to visit with a couple more guests, okay?
Yeah, can't wait.
All right. Absolutely. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we have with us with Gray Orange, Miss Terry O'Hanlon. Good morning, Sunshine.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. What'd you learn in that last segment?
I am going to donate money to that organization because that is, I love everything about it. I love the business model. I love the enthusiasm, and I love supporting people who have supported us by serving our country.
That I've got is my receipt fantastic. Book right here. Thank you. Well,
I have my checkbook right here.
And fill out my commission form, right? I put this whole thing together.
In kind commission.
Okay. That was a productive morning for you.
So Gray Orange, tell us a little bit about what you guys are out there doing for folks.
Okay, great. Well, Gray Orange has a software platform that's driven by artificial intelligence and machine learning, and it infuses knowledge into robots that assist humans in getting work done within a warehouse. So that's our base business. And if you think about this age of immediacy that Amazon really created, where we as consumers want more faster, it's impossible for businesses to keep up without some assistance. And so the way that work gets done within the four walls of a warehouse really needs to be transformed.
And so you guys don't build the robots. You build everything that communicates with the robots and helps them do the work.
We do both.
You do both.
Mm-hmm, we do. Yes, because we believe that our solution is actually pretty unique and super cool if you're a tech nerd. But the software on the robots themselves that learn in real time and communicate back with the predictive software system that's driving them. So you can think that here's the body of work you're getting done today, but then the robot will experience things on the floor and communicate that back and reshuffle the priorities for the day.
So that can inform the workflow on a daily basis, yes. Or it may have you completely revisiting your initial workflow plans to begin with, right?
Yes, that's right. And it used to be when the world was simpler, the people who worked in these capacities could do it by gut or instinct or what happened, last year. But now there's so many data variables that are coming in and so much immediacy and change in the world, you really need artificial intelligence to help you figure all that out.
So I suspect, and I don't know, but I want to check this assumption with you, that there's quite a bit of what I would characterize as light or less than heavy manufacturing distribution kind of stuff right here in this town.
Yes. Atlanta is known for logistics. This is, the original name of the city. It was Terminus for the railroad terminals that are here. So there's a bunch of logistics companies that are here in Atlanta. And that's one of the reasons this company, which was originally founded in India, made its U.S. headquarters in Atlanta. So that just happened last year.
So at this point in our development as a species and our in this point in our market development here in Georgia and Atlanta, there are a lot of shops right now while we're talking that still have humans doing all the packing, the picking, the putting the bolt on the right? Yep.
Yes. And you know what? We some people do have concerns. Well, are robots just going to replace people? But actually, there's a huge in this employment environment. There's a huge gap in the number of warehouse workers that are available. It's actually about 500,000 right now. And so people who run these companies are struggling with how do I get and retain employees, but also have them feel supported in the work environment. So the OSHA actually reports that warehouse workers are 8 times as likely to suffer from back problems than other workers. And that makes sense because they're mm-hmm. picking up things every day. Well, why not get a robot to do that? So our system has the people stay stationary and it brings the goods to them to pick and pack. So there's less lifting and the environment is safer and also less stress. Like in other systems, you may, as a warehouse worker, have a handheld that's telling you, okay, you have X amount of seconds to go pick this off of a shelf and get it back and pack it. And in our system, everything flows more smoothly and you're standing at a station and what you're supposed to pick and pack and ship comes to you. And it's all orchestrated by a robot and the software system.
Well, that's very helpful context for me because I guess I was thinking very black and white and you're either, a bunch of humans, running around with those belts around your back so you don't hurt yourself, picking stuff, or you're like this, all the robot arms. But the reality is it's more of a integrated, you're fully leveraging machines and machine learning and AI and all that stuff.
Yes.
To help you do your job that much more effectively.
Yes. And there's a greater work satisfaction if you're not asked to do heroic tasks that are impossible, like to fulfill this many orders in this mm-hmm. amount of time and, do the heavy lifting of all of that. So it's an industry that has actually not transformed as quickly as you might imagine. If you think about Amazon bought a company called Kiva, 9 years ago and took that robot off of the Kiva made robots and they took them off of the market for other people. And you would think that this market would have developed more quickly, but it hasn't.
Well, do you find that there's the best way I would know to describe it for me personally would be like an intimidation factor. In our business, sometimes part of what we do, we have people who host shows who are not professional radio people, but it helps them, meet the needs of their market and generate a bunch of content and all that. But one of the intimidation aspects of it is they're like, I don't have any professional radio experience. How am I going to do a show? But for me, if I were running a light manufacturing operation or a warehouse, I think I might be just intimidated a little bit by this general idea of robots and software. Do you run into that?
Yes, I think that is true. And that's why we do a lot to educate people on the advantages that are available if you're really leveraging technology to advance your business. And I think technology of all sorts is intimidating to some extent.
Right.
In some
Until you do it
businesses.
For a little while, then you're like, why didn't I do this right? I was like that way with the phone.
Yeah, I think, you bring up a good point because what we try to do is get people to understand, think of all the other areas of your life where technology is assistive to you. It's helping you get your job done or just organize your daily life. And you look back and you say, I can't believe I didn't do this sooner. And that's how our customers feel when they start to use this technology. And we also have 3 different form factors of robots. So some go and get goods and bring them to people. Some will be alongside a person helping them to pick things and pack them. And then some are mobile sorters that once something's packed, it takes it to where it needs to ship out. So it's not one size fits all kind of technology. It's the right form factor for the right task.
All right. See, that's another thing that I think sometimes I forget and maybe more non-technical people forget. This is, it's not just a technology transfer. There's this whole consulting piece to understanding. Walk us through that whole, like, it's almost like the consulting engagement. That's, I'm from the training consulting world, so I understand that piece of it. But I would think that if you're going to come into my warehouse and help me revamp, that's as important, if not more so.
It is.
Than the tech piece. Yeah?
Speak to that a little bit. It is. So what we do is, as we're working with a prospect, we take their data, their everyday orders that they process and the timeframes that they're promising. And really, a lot of our customers are what's called omni-channel customers. So imagine the difficulty.
I've heard that. What does that mean?
It means wherever the consumer wants it, you better have it, is what it means. And, you know, there are actually people who are like, if you're a consumer, you don't think in terms of channels. It's sort of a inwardly looking thing. It's more like if you go to a store, you want the inventory to be there. If you want to order it on your mobile phone, you want to be able to get it there. If you want to order it from your PC, you want it there. And so the challenge for businesses who are in that world is to have the right product at the right place, at the right time, at the right price. So that is becoming increasingly more complicated in a flattening world where, you know, anyone from anywhere in the world can order something. And your competitor is really Amazon and Amazon Marketplace.
That's got to be a tough set of shoes to fill. Okay, so granddaddy started the business. Dad grew it. I want to just explode it. I want to take advantage of international markets. Dad wouldn't touch that.
Right.
And I'm thinking we got to get more automated. We got to, and so I'm reaching out, I guess.
Yes.
And so what happens? Somebody comes out and kind of maps out the floor or what?
Well, the first thing that happens is you look at the data, because in order to optimize the form factors and your footprint and all that, you need to understand the pulse of the business and what's going on. So we take their data and then we make a recommendation, yes, for the types of layouts. And, the other cool thing about our system is we give advice on what things to store together that based on affinity or popularity. So affinity means if you're going to order a cell phone, you're going to order a case or whatever. But sometimes things aren't that obvious. But if we look at the data, we can see X percent of time a consumer orders A, they order B. You ought to store it together on the same rack because that makes the life of the people who are picking it much better. So we give them all of that intelligence and then we design the system for them. But the most important thing is it's never set in stone. Nobody has a crystal ball. The world's changing too fast. So we build in flexibility to be able to.
And you respond. You don't quit collecting the data.
Correct.
That's the start of it.
That's the start of
it. You get new data.
Yes.
Bill doesn't have to walk all the way across the warehouse anymore. But still, we'd be much better off if this item were a little closer.
Correct. Just to create the speed. And if you think about traditional setups in a warehouse, they have things bolted to the floor. So the racks are stationary and the sorting systems are stationary. And the world is not stationary anymore. There's no such thing as stasis. It's changing all the time. And so people get handcuffed into expensive designs. And our philosophy is that all of that should be fluid. We call it inventory in motion. There should never be anything that's in storage. It should always be moving to the pulse of the orders that are coming down on the floor.
Well, that's a whole new idea. And for those of you that can't see, since this is radio, we put air quotes around the word storage. That's almost an outdated concept.
Outdated concept because the key to profitability, to being personal and profitable, personal meaning giving people what they want when they want it, but also making money, is to have the fluidity to, keep everything in motion.
So our sales trainer may want to chime in on this, but I'll ask you, the whole sales and marketing thing around this, it seems to me like it would be very challenging.
It is challenging.
So how does that work for you guys?
I don't know. Help me. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you have people out there kicking up opportunities and having conversations, building relationships.
Sure,
you got to, right?
Sure. And I've been in supply chain a couple of different times, and domain expertise is very important in this space, especially tagging back to what you were saying. It was my dad's business, and now I have it.
Right.
There's a longevity to some of these businesses. And then, just in terms of the larger ones that are more sophisticated, you really need to be able to understand their world. Don't sell me technology and ask me to change. Look at my world and give me technology that adapts to it and accelerates it.
Well, there's the word, right, Jason? Because sometimes when we're in systems and we feel like we come in, guns a-blazing, or at least inside our heads, right? I got the answer. Sit down, shut up, give me your milk money. Let me sell you this thing, right?
Absolutely.
But there's this, if everything else is in place, right, there's this whole change management. Even if everything is perfect, it's not, right? Because you're asking humans to substantially change their direction.
You are. And so you need to be aware of that and respect that, that there's a change element right. Involved in it. What we also try to do is talk in real language instead of in tech speak. So we call this mm-hmm. whole concept high yield fulfillment. And that if you think about it, just as a person and every day, every decision you make has a payoff and it has a trade-off. And we're just doing that naturally in our brains. But when it comes to business, the world's too complex and our system helps do that, helps calculate across thousands of variables. At the end of the day, what are the highest yield decisions you can make for the day? And it's a good day if you have more payoffs than trade-offs. And you're always going to have trade-offs. There's always going to be something you couldn't do because you chose to do this other activity. But the math of it helps you understand what those right. best decisions are.
Right. So it's a very consultative relationship. It would have to be to get me to move and get me past the, right? Yeah. And to get me past that fear, you guys are probably running that all the time when you're training salespeople.
Yeah, I mean, salespeople or my first job out of the military was I was a process engineer.
There you go. So you're understanding it.
Yeah. GE. And, you know, not only were the machines bolted to the floor, but for 20 years, this person's been bolted to that same 3 foot by 3 foot square. And they know what they do. And if you want that person on the shop floor to change their habits, to change their long-running human process, there's a sales effort. You have to give them a good reason why, a compelling reason why they should change what they do. And that's more than tech speak. You got to find a way to make these big changes translate down to how it's going to make this worker's life better so they can change their habits. And a lot of times they don't have data on how bad they were doing before. So you got to tell them their baby's ugly first.
Well, you know, it is the other thing that we do is let people see it and experience it. Obviously, take them to customers who are using the system. And once people see how intuitive and practical the system is, mm-hmm. They get it and they do it. It is one of those things that could be perceived as threatening until you see it. And then we let them talk to the people who are using the systems and, you know, have them say, yes, I can't believe how it was before.
And then they start seeing the win for them.
Yes. Well, and also they know, they know that they can't keep up with right. outdated technology. They know they can't. They're experiencing the stress of it every day and missing service level agreements, which is the promise that you make. If you think about it, any business is in a relationship with its customer, and right. your success of the business is how many promises are you keeping every day? And our system helps you keep your promise. When someone orders something and you say it'll be there by Tuesday and it's not, that's a promise broken. But you also have to make money. So you have to factor in the cost of making those promises. And our system helps companies do that too, to figure out, can I cut my standard delivery time by a day and still fulfill all those orders? Can I extend the time by which I let somebody order and get it the next day by an hour? And if you think about the revenue capture elements of this, so there's a cost element in that you're able to do things more efficiently. There's a human capital satisfaction element, and then there's also a revenue element. And when you show people that complete picture, they get it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, go ahead, Connor.
Yeah. And you're right, because if you think about it in the workspace right now, in a logistics point, if the system goes down, sometimes you depend on one person to come and fix that system. Now with AI and machine learning, this system automatically corrects itself.
Yes,
so
right.
in this way, you build tolerance and default tolerance and automatically correct itself. So you now wait on an individual to come and fix it. So in this way, but it's more productive.
Yes, thanks for pointing that out. I agree. And the one other element that I forgot, if you just want to have some empathy for the logistics professionals out there.
I already do, yeah.
We as consumers are just so demanding. And so not only is speed accelerating, but we want more choice. And so that's called SKUs, stock keeping units. And so the number of SKUs that these managers have to deal with has exploded. And then we want those SKUs to change, not just four times a year for a season. We want new choices 12 times a year. And we're just a, I want it and I want it the way I want it and I want it now kind of world. And, you know, some companies call that the Amazon effect, because if you think about it, until there was Amazon, we weren't quite
well, I call
like
it
that.
The gray orange effect.
No, we didn't cause the problem. That's the problem.
The solution is the gray orange effect.
Yeah. We just call it the age of immediacy, because we don't want to, you know, knock our good friends at Amazon. So we just call it the age of immediacy. And if you can't play in that era, you're not going to survive. Yeah. And you're also not going to be delivering the returns to your shareholders that you need to be delivering.
Well, what marvelous and appropriate framing. Everything from return to shareholders, and then something that you said earlier, what you're doing is equipping me to keep these promises.
Yes.
Not here by my whiz-bang robot arm. Or yeah. Software. That's the framing right there.
Yes, it's all about relationships. And I do think one of Gray Orange's strengths is that it's a very personal company. The founders actually are very young, and we're, you know, techo, whiz-bang, smarty pants people, but are also just so relatable. And they were just very enamored with the technology of robotics, driven and infused by AI and machine learning software. And they looked around and said, what's an industry where we can apply this technology in a way that it'll really matter? And it's a big problem to solve. And they picked logistics, just because if you look at a picture of a warehouse from 50 years ago and then look at one today, many of them are the same, and it's hard to find an industry like that.
So what's next? What's going to be on your priority list for the next, I don't know, 6 to 18 months? Where are you going to focus your energy?
Well, we're evangelizing, to your point, getting people to understand the power of this technology. We're getting ready to release a new version of our gray, our software is called Gray Matter.
I love it.
Yes.
That's clever.
Isn't it? And the robot series is called the Ranger Robot, because it, as I explained earlier, it covers a full range of tasks and, locations within a warehouse. So we're getting ready to launch that in about a month.
Fantastic. So, job security for you. This is, some of these challenges and these opportunities are not going anywhere anytime soon.
Right. Yes. I think the company, has some, you know, very, strong brands that are customers, but also has a lot of headroom. There's a lot of people to sell to. You're right.
All right. So if our listeners want to learn more, have a conversation with you or somebody on your team, what's the best way for them to reach out?
Well, I don't have a simple last name either, but I do have a simple email, which is terry.o@grayorange.com. We took the complication out of the last name. So it's T-E-R-R-I-E .o@grayorange.com. And gray is spelled with an E. So it's GREYORANGE.com.
Well, thanks so much for coming in and sharing your story.
Yeah, thank you. And if anybody wants to get a better feel for it, we have lots of videos on our site that show robots in action. So that's people usually find that very helpful.
And that website, the URL?
It's www.grayorange.com.
Grayorange.com. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Hey, stay with us. We got one more guest we're going to visit with.
I would love to.
All right, y'all ready for the headliner? He's been very patient. He's been sitting there taking notes, nodding his head, being very supportive of all the other guests. Please join me in welcoming to the show with My Abilities LLC, Mr. Conrad Mertens. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. It's so great to be here as well with everyone as well. You know, it's interesting to talk about the robots for Gray Matters. I'm looking forward to the day when the robots look much more appealing to the eyes.
Ours are cute. They're gray and orange, you know.
You are such a cheerleader. You're so effusive. You're such a good positive force to have in the room. Everybody had more energy, I think, because Conrad was here, because he's like nodding his head. He's urging you on. Have you always been a coach cheerleader kind of guy?
I've always have a lot of energy. You know, this morning before I came here, I just finished jogging 9 miles.
Oh my!
You know, oh my gosh!
Wow. Got to come over here as well, which is awesome because you know we talk about the Bunker Labs. You know, we talk about helping the veterans as well. I think that is awesome what you guys are doing. You know, I love the idea of giving back and really helping the people that supported us or protect us. And that's one thing we're doing. But My Abilities to be looking to give to veterans as well, work with the veterans. So we're going out to Massachusetts at the end of the month. to show them my abilities and offer it to them as well.
All right. So give us a kind of an overview, a primer of my abilities. What is it? How did it start? Kind of thing.
So elevator pitch is like basically my abilities is a task schedule. It's a mobile app and a management console, you know, that helps people with disabilities, seniors, students, veterans, caregivers, or anyone that have challenges in taking medications or rehab program. And what it is basically, if you think about it, there are many apps or calendars or schedule out there as well. But what's different is about my abilities, it shows you an actual picture of the task. So you take a live picture, the gallery picture of the task you're about to take. So once you set the date and time, it automatically comes up. It makes a lot of noise. It gets your attention, right? And it tells you, and it reads to you in any language as well. Start reading to you multiple times. You only have two options. Press finish or snooze. Once you press finish, it report back to the management console to the person that you've completed the task. So that's a nice part of my ability. So for example, you talk about seniors, 20%, according to studies show that 20% or 64 million U.S. right now are seniors as well. People are taking 5 or more medications per day. Yeah. So what we recommend, you take a picture of the meds in the bottle and you set a date and time. So anyone can do it. You don't have to do it yourself, but a family member can do it for you from any part of the world and just send it to your phone. So automatically from a computer, I can send it to any device in the world.
Wow.
As well, automatically. And then that person has a schedule. It's not a text. It's not a text because even if your phone is locked, it pops up when that time comes and reads to you. So it's nice if you're visually impaired or so you can hear as well. If you cannot hear as well, you can see the picture as well as hear the words. Yeah. That's a nice part about it too. And it also continue to read to you so you don't have to know to read. That's a nice part.
I love the idea of the picture. My mom has dementia and she can understand pictures and she certainly could understand somebody reading to her, but she wouldn't be able to read something and know what to do. So that's smart.
So that's what we did. So think about it. Right now, if you go to Publix, not all Publix, many Publix as well as Big Lots, what they have to call people in transitional program, youths. They're trying to bring people with disability into the workspace. So these youths between 19 and 24. So what to do? A lot of times you see them bagging groceries or stocking shelf. A lot of them, they have no sense of time. But behind the scenes is a job coach that telling them when to move to the next task from this class. Now with my abilities apps, so the job coach or someone from the office can push their task to their phone. Almost everyone have a phone these days. Mm-hmm. And now they know, they have the tool now to make them much more enabled to complete a task. So now once they go to the task to tell them what to do, they're able to transition one task to the next. Even going to lunch, we even have it where at 7 o'clock, it says MARTA bus is outside. MARTA bus is outside. And they take a picture of the MARTA bus driver. So, and that's what you're doing as well. If people with autism, repetitive tasks, clean your room, brush your teeth, take a shower. You don't want to take a picture of them taking a shower, but you know, take a bathroom. But you take a picture of the bathroom, for example. Right. And that's what you do. And over time, that task is no longer needed. Conditional repetitive task as well. And that's what you find as well, what my abilities are doing for people as well. For even in school, we took it to Clark Atlanta University. In fact, we were also in Minnesota last week. And if the teachers are loving it, because what you find is a disconnect with teach students a second language. Mm-hmm. The parents doesn't know it. They don't know English. So now with my abilities, we could put it in Spanish or Chinese or Portuguese. And now that parent can also help that child as well. And also it report back to the teacher that the students acknowledge the task.
The use cases for this, you must be discovering new use cases like weekly, daily, right? Stuff you hadn't even thought of, and then somebody uses it.
And that's what happened because we had no idea it could be used in school like that. Our goal was for the veterans, the VA office, for people with disabilities and autism and seniors. That's what we started the path. But then when we took it to outside and showed it to other people, they're like, no, this is what we can do with it. So now we're even doing more. So you don't have to store the picture in the cloud. You can store the pictures locally, your tasks locally. You can store it in the cloud. But we also go a step further in organization, keep it stored within their infrastructure because not everyone are happy with the cloud. So you keep it locally as well. You know, and the one thing we find too, which we find, we're looking to start a pilot program, one of medical centers, is that nurses have between an hour and a half to give a patient medication in a hospital. That would time. But a good attorney, you talk about litigate risk. A good attorney can say, you know, if I got the patient got a medication at 9 o'clock, they would have been alive. You know, so now with my abilities, because of the record keeping, you can set nurse one, you were assigned to these rooms, and you make sure the patient get the medication on time with that record as well.
So what was the genesis of the, I mean, it sounds like a great idea now. Yes. Like so many ideas I come across, I'm like, wow, that's a fantastic idea, but I never would have thought of it. What was the genesis?
So it's interesting. So I'm one of 12 kids. No, 12 kids, that's why I have to have energy because you got to survive, right?
So, really, one of 12?
One of 12 with over 200 nieces and nephews I have. And with that also come challenges and have disabilities within my family, within a family of 200 plus. And you always want to communicate with your family members. You know, my wife always says she wants to learn sign language and all this stuff. And she haven't done it so far. So we found a better way of communicating. That's basically how it started. And, you know, working with my wife as well. My wife is a doctor and she's the LCSW. You know, we be able to collaborate and say, okay, does everyone have access to a phone or an iPad or so, some kind of technology? And we find this was the best way to communicate. So this is basically how we got started in a sense of working with family, making a family. But I want to step back because part of it too as well is giving back. You know, as business owners and these gentlemen here, all of us here, business owner entrepreneurs, it's important that it's not all about us. It's about giving back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a CEO of Famtech. And what I did personally took my first in the funds of my salary and developed this app as well. It's about giving back. And that's what I believe in strongly as well. So yes, it's been challenging, but I think it's more important for us. The world is much bigger than us. And we always look to see is where, how can we help? How can we give? How can we share as well? And that's why we're able to do that as well. That's how we're able to develop app, the Famtech app.
So it sounds like maybe this thing is sort of taken on a life of its own, but I'm still operating under the impression that you have to guide it some. You've got to go find new organizations. You've got to make some inroads into some places to hear this story and maybe, I don't know, pilot the program. Is some of your time invested in that still?
Yeah, so we have a couple of volunteers, and we're always looking for volunteers. We hire a new CEO as well to run this program out in New Jersey as well. But we're looking for volunteers here in Georgia and all over to help. And, you know, we're looking for also for, as you said, pilot programs. We're willing to work with startups, new dot orgs as well, looking to way to get started. We would put the apps inside it and let you try it out for free. Now, the nice part about the thing I just want to show is that, you know, is we rely a lot too as well on donations, because storing pictures in the cloud costs money. It costs a lot. So what we have been doing, we've dropped the price to like $4.99 per month subscription. But as time goes on, we'll be hoping to lower that. But if you don't want to store your pictures in the cloud, you can keep it locally at no cost. So the apps is available for free and the management cards for free at no cost and keep it locally on your phone. But if you want to send family members a task or push it to different people's phone, that's where the $4.99, and that's the lowest we can possibly give. We're always looking to reduce it lower than that to make it affordable for everyone. Because one thing you find that we have study shows that as soon as a child have disability, the men disappear. Mm. Now you have a bunch of single women looking after the kids with a lot of responsibility. The men no longer, and they can't afford it. Seniors can't afford it at all. So this is what it's important. That's what this big donation contribution. That's what I've been doing, is looking at ways to let them see previous history of the task and see what's going on, but keeping that cost to the minimum ever possible.
So what is the biggest challenge right now facing you in the organization?
I think it's more scalability, make it more availability. Availabilities, we definitely need help in getting it out there to more and more people as well. And that's our biggest challenge and the marketing strategy as well, what to do. This is not about, you know, I want to stress, it's not about revenue profit. It's about helping. It's about giving. I get it because I feel it every day for my family members, because I see how it helped my abilities help my family. I see helping others as well. And it's idea for it to be more productive, for us to be more productive, even people in the workforce, helping people with disability, they are capable because they are equal to the task.
So for probably everyone at this table, $5 a month is not an undue burden. So if any of us get enamored with this, we're going to go out and get it, right? And get it for mom or you know, brother or whomever. But it maybe you already have this in place, but it sounds like maybe there could be an easy mechanism, say, okay, I'm an app user, but I am also willing to pay for someone else's. You know, like where I'm getting this idea is not mine. I saw something on a feel-good news clip where you could go in and, like, you have lunch at the diner, and then you just buy another lunch, and you just, like, you pay for it, and you take it, and you thumbtack it up on the board, and it says, you know, one hamburger or whatever. So you probably have or are working on stuff like that to make it easy for people to do stuff like that, right?
Yeah, that's a good idea. That'd be great. Yeah, we love those ideas like that as well. Every bit helps, I should say, yeah.
Because there are people that really can't even afford that's a burden. And then there's also those that just don't know about it.
Right.
And that's got to be a big challenge too, right?
That is the biggest challenge. People just don't know about the app and how much it can really help them as well. As I said, you can download the app for free and use it at no cost, but a senior may not know, is not tech savvy, mm-hmm. but a family member mm-hmm. can easily use their computer or their phone and push it to the family member task and keep track of their task. Because if you don't get a reply back, most likely the person have not taken the meds. And that's when you can pick up the phone and call as well. So it's not that my abilities app is not tied to email or telephone number. It's tied to basically that username. So wherever you travel, whatever device you pick up, it's on your username. And it automatically, if you change phones and so forth, it will still know who you are. And that's the nice about My Abilities app as well.
That's great.
That is fantastic. Yeah, go ahead.
You had mentioned having veterans in the veteran community in mind when you did that. And I think that there's a segment, you know, VA or whoever, that could really be helpful in proliferating this platform. Are there other organizations besides the veteran community, other groups that you might want to partner with that you've been looking at that could use this type of service?
Yeah, no, to veterans, as we look at nursing homes, caregivers, those aspects, even the individuals, even the mom and pops, the moms, the parents that have children with autism and disability, you find up diabetes. You'd be surprised. We went to a diabetic, a volunteer at the time diabetes conference. And you'd be surprised how many people start downloading the app. As well as so many people have type 1, type 2 diabetes and look into ways to help their kids to take medication. We even talking to pharmacists as well. Look, push the information. How many times you get all this paper from a pharmacy? You don't understand what it's saying. What if the pharmacist can basically push the picture of the meds along with that instructions as well to your phone? And it tells you what to do because you don't remember what it says. And you can, in today's technology, you can talk the words into it. So it turns text into speech automatically. So the person could automatically start hearing it as well. So we want, like, the pharmacist, talk to physician, let your physician start pushing, use this app. So your appointments, you don't miss appointments because look, a lot of us miss appointments because we don't know the telephone number. We block the telephone number. We block the person number, right? No, right. No, your doctor now is like, hey, look, I'm not relying on you to answer your phone anymore. I'm going to push a task to you to remind you before me tomorrow morning. And that's a nice part about it too. So the doctors also ensure the wellness of that person, that they're making appointments on time. They're taking all the medical instructions as scheduled. And that's the key to wellness as well. Following the doctor's order, taking your medication on time, that's promoting better health as well. We're looking at too from a pharmaceutical perspective.
I would bet that this, much like in my company, in yours, seeing a video of it in action would probably help people understand. Do you have those kinds of resources on your website?
Oh, yeah. We have tons of videos on the website.
Nice.
We have all different videos, YouTube's videos as well, as to help people and show the benefit of what that they can offer them.
Well, I really like the idea of being a practitioner, a doctor, which I am not. But if I were, I like the idea of giving my patient something or my patient's caregiver something that includes, okay, when you get home, do this with regard to what we're doing and get it on. Is it called the My Abilities app? Is that the name of it?
Yes.
Okay. And here's your My Abilities app instructions and just build it into what you're doing. I love that idea. And I don't know very much about diabetes, but it's my understanding that a lot of that can be managed very effectively if you stay on top of it and of your meds and other disciplines. And so to me, that's one area that sounds to me like it would absolutely be perfect for this.
Yes, and that's what you find too as well. It's a nice problem with diabetes and with autism. You have to lay out all the steps. Step mm-hmm. one, step two, step three. That's what this app is all about. And it shows you a picture. It reads to you step one, go to step two. And you acknowledge each step as you go by with the My Abilities app.
Really?
But the management console is one that gives the power. The management console is like a web app. It's a web app and you access the web app and you can push, you can do all different cool stuff. The app itself for Android and iOS is very simple. You got to make it simple. Keep it simple for everyone. But the power is in the management console. The both come together. They're not separate. They're both same product together. So images or tasks from the web app or the management console go directly to your phone, or from your phone it communicates directly as well to the management console.
And that's on the web. The management console is
on the web.
At my own little area of a URL.
Yes, it's on URL, secure area on the URL. Correct. And just the app. So all the images both work to communicate nicely together,
okay.
And then keep each other in sync.
All right. So what can we do to help? Where do you need the most? What do you need most right now?
Well, I think most of you need a marketing strategy. We need to get a word out. We mm-hmm. need the word to get out to people as well, volunteers, or even as well contribution as well to help keep the cost down for the individuals who are using the mom, the pops as well. That will help because we always working with cloud providers to see how can we lower that cost, because we don't limit you on the number of tasks or number of pictures that you can store. And if you take mm-hmm. an iPhone X gives some huge pictures, you know, and right. it's like, my gosh. So suddenly that one picture is 10 megs. That cost is higher for mm-hmm. us. So since we're not limited, we want to be flexible as well. We have to find ways as well and partner with people as well or companies that can lower that storage cost for those individuals who use the My Abilities app. But as I said, you can also, if you don't want to do that, you can keep everything locally on your phone.
All right, so let's leave our listeners with some coordinates, websites, where they can get the app, how they can talk to you or somebody. If someone is interested in volunteering or maybe finding a way to help you further this cause, lay some of that stuff on us.
So great. So the website is www.myabilities. That's myabilities.net. That's myabilities.net. You can download the app at the Apple Store, from the Apple Store or the Google Play Store. And the app is called My Abilities, all one word, MYABILITIES. So once you download the app, the nice part about it, once you download and you sign up, you create a profile, you automatically get an email, give you more information about the management console, the YouTube videos, and give you much more information. Right away, you would get that type of information of how to access the management console too.
Well, keep up the good work, man. Congratulations on what you've accomplished so far and the momentum that you've gained. I can tell everybody in this room is pulling for you, and I know our listeners are as well. Thank you so much for coming in and visiting with us.
Yeah, I want to give my email address. Okay, let's try. C Meritins, CMEERTINS. That's CMEERTINS at myabilities.net.
Well, thank you again for coming in and sharing your story. And thank you for everyone this morning. That was fantastic.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. This is Stone Payton for our guest today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on Atlanta Business Radio.